Okay, in honor of Aronovich, we're going to do chametz u'matzah tonight for the Manashtana. And we'll get the chametz being sent, but we're going to do Agada. So this is how it goes. L'maisa, one of the most popular points of the Agada is the list of the 10 makas. And then after the list of the 10 makas, Rabbi Yehuda then gives an acronym, the Tzach Hadas Brachav. And the most obvious question is going to be, Rabbi Yehuda, thank you, but no thank you. I could do this on my own. And more so, a really important question is, when you make an acronym, it has to mean something. The words Tzach Hadas Brachav are not even reminded. Some add to the question even more so. Even more so, they say, wait a second, within the Tzach Hadas Brachav, you have repeat letters. Dalet of Ditzach is also repeated in Adas. So I don't know, how do you know when, if you, let's say you say right away, it's the order of the Makas. That's the easy way to do it. Dam Tzradei Akinim Arav Dever. So if you don't know anything, maybe it's Dever Tzradei Akinim Arav Dam. You can't have an acronym if that two letters are the same. As well, welcome back, as well, what other letters repeated? Put him on the spot. He's on Florida time. Not only is the Dalet repeated, the base is repeated. Ba'achav. So how do you know what is what? So if you only want to remember the Makas, if you don't know the song, if you don't know the song, then the acronym does nothing for you. Because if I tell you, okay, now what? What am I going to do? So some Rishonim answer, because they take this question seriously. Even though we might not take the question seriously, they ask this question. Rishonim say, what is the point of an acronym if two letters are repeated? Yeah. We'll get to that soon. So they say like this, which you have to know how brains work. I don't know. I don't know how they say. They say in the rules of acronyms, you didn't know, there's a whole list of rules of acronyms. In the rules of acronyms, you're not allowed to repeat a letter unless it's so obvious. If it's an obvious thing, you're allowed. And they say, when does it become obvious? If it's the first or the last letter that's repeated. Unbelievable. So Ditzach, since the Dalet is first, and Be'achav, the Beis, is last, they say, yeah, when it comes to first and last letters, allowed to be repeated. So in Hilchus acronym, which I never heard of until recently, in Hilchus acronym, you can't repeat a letter because then people get confused. But no one gets confused on the first or the last letter. So therefore, the Dalet of the Tzach can be repeated, and the Beis, the Bachav, can be repeated. That's the...
Which acronyms are we talking about?
In general acronyms. Depends what. Now, there's two types of acronyms. Yeah, but that's not a... Is that a real acronym? That's not an acronym. That's people made up a nickname. I don't know. I don't know if that's a real acronym. An acronym is like a memory. We don't say the word Rambam as a try to remember who the guy is. It's not a memory trick. It's just that's his nickname. Maybe. Oh, yeah. Could be there are people out there who think it's Rambam Ben Moshe. I don't know. No, I'm saying, but people mix it up, so they might get it Rambam Ben Moshe. I have no idea. Okay. What? That's a palindrome.
Only the first and last, you need right. To the whole sentence.
Maybe. Oh, so now one famous answer is this. One famous answer of why Rabbi Yehuda made it necessary, Rishonim say this, why he made it necessary to do it, is because when you read in Tehillim, they don't go in order. Shockingly, by the way. If you read Tehillim in Perek Ayin Ches and or Kofei, the orders, if we have a Siddur here, the orders of the Makas are not in order. So he wants to say, Rabbi Yehuda said this. Someone's reading Chumash, we know a general rule in Chumash, this ain't say the Lemikra. There's nothing, you can mix things around. And then you're going to go to Tehillim, and you're going to see in Tehillim, the order is different. In Kufches, let's say. If you go to Tehillim, you see it's different, so you don't know what's real. How do you know what's going to be real? So it tells you, oh, I'll tell you what's real. If Yehuda comes along and tells you, I'm going to tell you what's real. Remember how the order goes from this acronym of the Tzach Hadas Brachav, we'll remember it. So it says like this. The first one it says is Shalach Choshech. Choshech is an early on, obviously Choshech there. It says Shalach Choshech VaYeshach VeLeimaru Estavori. That's in Pasuk Chaf Ches 28. Pasuk 29 Chafah Ches Memeim Ladam. Turn the water to blood. So if you're a textualist on Tehillim and you don't know Chumash, or you know Chumash but you decide, we know an old rule, Ein Seid the Lemikra. You could have it, the order of the Pesukim could be out of order. So then you're going to get Tehillim and say, David doesn't go out of order. Within the same parak. So you know what? If since David has a different order, that must be the order. So Rabbi Yehuda said, I want to avoid people being confused because then I read Tehillim and get confused. So then I'm going to do the Tzach Hadas Brachav and make it out.
Is there any reason why we have to know the order?
Oh, so now, Rav Schweitzer asked a bomb question, which I wasn't going to bring up tonight, but now I have to. Put me on the spot, and it's a good one. What's the difference? Do we need to know the order or not? So this is going to be from Mamash for Israel, the Oberlander. We have to have an Oberlander vote. We keep on calling him Yeki, but it's Oberlander vote. We have to have an, what?
Oberlander vote?
First I call him a Yek, he says no. Now I call him Oberland, he says no. He keeps on switching on me.
He's a Litvak.
My grandfather, my mother, my father's father was Litvish.
Right. So the Oberland is Halakhdis, but the Chassam Sofer says this. Fascinating idea. The Chassam Sofer says, which I think he's not trying to answer Dovid HaMelech. I'm coming, this is why I'm explaining it. You're asking, is there a point to know the order? I'm saying, why did Dovid HaMelech do it out of order? Stay with the Chumash. That's the easy way to do it. Why do it out of order? So they say, brought down, Kabbalistically speaking, I think, did you guys do Pei or Klein recently? The Mishnah says, you're not supposed to go around in a wheelchair. Why? Because you create an atmosphere where, God forbid, if you're in a wheelchair, you'll need a wheelchair. You create your own bad energy. Oh, and good energy, by the way.
If you don't need one, obviously,
if you don't need one. I started a minute when I was a bacha in Lakewood, and now I see everyone does it, by the way. I started as a joke. I have to be honest, I started as a joke. I should put this on tape. After I'd go to, when the chas and the kala would finish the chuppah, and everyone dancing and everything like that, I would walk down the chuppah by myself. Everyone was away, left room, I'd walk down the chuppah, I'd say, oh, as a school, I'd walk down the chuppah. Now, I've been at weddings, I see people doing it. But I made this school up, it's no real thing, I made this up. Maybe it's real, maybe I made it up and it's still real. Just like it says, you can't sit in a wheelchair, because God forbid you'll need a wheelchair, so walk down the chuppah and... God forbid you need a chuppah. I don't understand.
That's a segula.
Depends where you are. In Bethel, you say, God forbid you need a chuppah. I made up the school. So they want to say like this. Chassam Sofer says that if you're going to, I don't know, if even though it's Torah, if you're going to say the makas in order, you create a negative energy where now the makas could be applicable to the world today. So he says you should never say the makas in order. Now what happens twice? What happens twice when you go through it? What? No, doesn't. Maybe. I said to the world. But listen, no, that's a friend of mine. So it goes like this. When you read it, it's unbelievable. It will be the next idea. This is the trick question. We don't want to put Presser on the spot, Presser, but we're going to do it to you because I can't pick on the Yaki anymore.
Listen, I want to ask you something.
No,
he was in Florida for 5 months.
You're next. He's
Why
right.
Can't he be the carbon?
Okay, you're next. But Presser, what? The famous question. The famous question is, what is the color of George Washington's white horse? Moses doesn't know. What's the color of George Washington's white horse, right? So if I tell you like this, here's my trick question. How many words in the song of the Ten Makas, Dam Tzifadei Kina, how many words?
Ten.
No, Makas Pechores. Makas Pechores. It's the funniest thing around. So you start, that's my trick question. What is George Washington's white horse? Maybe it's white. How many makas in the song Dam Tzavadeya? 11. What? Dam Tzavadeya, Kinam, Orev, Deva, Shchin, Barad, Arba, Choshech. Makas, Mechairus. So why? So Hobner wants to say, Ranovitz is way ahead. Why does he add in the word makas? Because you don't want to say it immortal. If you say the 10 makas without the word makas as the 10th word, and you say Dam Tzavadeya, Kinam, Orev until the end, then God forbid something negative can happen. So what we did was the Tanakhama said, I have a good idea. I'm going to add in the word Makas to Makas Bechayrus. This is all my addition to the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, I don't know, that sounds a little finagle-ish, no? I add in the word Makas, maybe yeah, maybe no, but you're still saying Dam Tzradeya. It sounds bad. You know what I'm going to do? New game. Acronym. Acronym covers it. Don't worry about it. So I say the acronym.
We say both
because we're going Bolshitas. But it means like this. According to this thing, you have to know in general, it's very possible, because there's a second question, not only why did Rabbi Yehuda do this, but why are we talking about it? Let's say Rabbi Yehuda had good reasons to talk about it. Why Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, you know what, I want to make an acronym. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Shkayach, but why are we talking about Tzadani Agada? So you could say now, and there are other approaches, that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue on the Tanakhama. And many different approaches, what he's arguing about. What is Rabbi Yehuda arguing within the Tanakhama? So this answer is now what? The answer is, how do you avoid, God forbid, creating bad energy by saying the makas? Tanakhama holds. You could say 10 makas as long as you add in a word. So say 10 makas and the last word. So it breaks up the system. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, I don't like this idea of saying the words. You know, it's too close to home. So you know what you got to do? Say an acronym.
And he takes out the makas.
And what?
He takes out the makas.
Oh. Around us right yet. You heard what he said? Because when Rabbi Yehuda is doing the acronym, let's do the other trick question. Let's do. We can't pick on him. So the first question that everyone got wrong, how many words in the song Dam Tzavadeya of the 10 Makas? We said 10, it's 11. Now I'll go the other way. How many letters in Rabbi Yehuda's acronym? You should say, Rabbi Yehuda's following the Tanakhama, it should be 11. It's not 11. Because Rabbi Yehuda does not say, that sounds like an Arab, Detzach Adash Ba'achmab. Like an Arab, right? Ba'achmab, it would be, right? Doesn't have it. It's he only has 10 letters. Detzach, which is 3 Adash, Ba'achav, without the mem. So it's an unbelievable idea. The Tana Kama comes along and he has 11 words. Rabbi Yehuda comes along, he makes 10 as the acronym. So we could say, like Aranus was hinting to, he says like this, if you're going to say the words, maybe he's not even arguing. According to this, he's not even arguing. Well, Evan Nugam, he's not arguing. He's saying like this, if you're going to say the makas out, then you have to add in a word. I like that idea. But I have another one you could do. You could say an acronym and not add in a word. So you either have the choice to say Dam Tzadei, Akinam Arav, Devashken, Makas, Bechairis, or the Tachadash Bachav. Those are the two ways. But now, for the original idea of the decade, the most unbelievable idea. It goes like this. I have to slow it down because it's really, really good. I love this idea. Dam is what? Blood. What's the plague of blood? The plague of blood is that the blood was the plague, right? That means the blood is like the stick that hits the person, right? The blood is the negativity. Next one, Svadeya. The frogs are negative. The frogs are affecting the Egyptian people. Dam Tzadeya. Kinim. The lice affect the people. And go through it now. We're going to skip over one in a second, come back to it. Remind me, Israel. What's the last one? If you would not have the word Makas Bechairis, and you would say Dam Tzadeya, and you go to the end, what would the word Bechairis mean? That what about them? That they were killed? That's not. There's no symmetry. It's not that Dam was affected. The Dam was the effector. The Tzvadeya wasn't affected. The Tzvadeya was the effector, if that's even a word. When you get to Bechairis, what are you saying? The Bechairis were what? Were affected.
Right.
Affected.
Right.
That doesn't stim. It's not. It doesn't work well. Dam is Dam. All the Makas. Dam, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Areva, all the negative aspect.
The last one was who the Makkah was on.
That's a better way of saying it. But that's not good in the song. The last one is who the Makkah was on. That's not fair. So therefore, the Tana Kama says, listen, I want to make sure no one makes a mistake here. So I'm going to add in the word Makkah to tell you that no, it's not, doesn't stim. You're right. I could have said Dam of what? Dam of water turned to Dam. I don't need that. Because every plague itself, the word being used is the Cheftza of the punishment. The Dam was the thing using the punishment. Tzvadeya was used as the punishment. Bechairis wasn't used as the punishment. The Bechairis were the punished. So in order to make sure you don't make that mistake, we add on the word Makas. Because Makas now means in English, I don't know what's Makas in English? The plague of.
Yeah.
So the plague of firstborn is not the plague of the firstborn hitting you, Dam hitting you, Tzvadeya hitting you. No, it was upon. That would be a better word. Makas means the plague upon the firstborn. So the Tana Kama comes along and he says, listen, nothing to do with heebie-jeebie. He's not going to the Oberlanders. He doesn't believe in this stuff. He says, listen, I have a simple thing. We got a problem. There's no consistency. Dam Tzadei Kinim Arav doesn't work consistent with the word Bechairis. So what I'm going to tell you now to do with the word Bechairis is, I'm going to add in the word. What does Rabbi Yehuda do? Aranus pointed out, Rabbi Yehuda took out the acronym because Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the fundamental concept of what the plague of the firstborn was. So we said until now, that the plague of the firstborn was the plague upon the firstborn. They were the victims. They weren't the stick and the gun. What do the gun rights say? Humans don't kill, the guns kill. Is that what they say? Something like that, right? Guns don't kill, humans kill, right? So the gun is the Dam, the Tzvadeya, the Kinim. The Bechairis aren't the gun. The Bechairis are the victim.
Right.
So Makas Bechairis. Yehuda says, no. There's a Medrash. No, but not bad. The Medrash says like this. When you read the Chumashim in the Torah, it's coming up to Choshech, and at the end of Choshech, Pare says, I'm not going to see your face anymore. I'm done with you. Well, Choshech had no warning. When did the Asra of Makas Bechairis take place? The Rishonim have an argument about this. When was Pare told, your firstborn's going to die? Some Rishonim learn it happened all the way in Parsha Shemois. Ramban. That means when Moshe met Pare the first time, we have the Chumashim here, Moshe tells Pari, listen, let my people go or else your firstborn's going to die. It's a year earlier. If each Makkah takes 1 month, it's a year earlier. What happened? The ninth plague ends. There's a Medrash. The ninth plague ends and Moshe Rabbeinu had said, the news had spread that all the Jews who weren't worthy are out and there was supposed to be 10 plagues and now the gig is up and the Tosis brings down this Medrash. The Medrash says that the firstborn children came and made a revolution. They said, listen, buddy, If you don't let the Jews out now, the next plague is upon us. And what did the Parai say? He sang the song. No, 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 I will not let them go. So what did the firstborns react to? No, 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 I will not let them go. No, we're not. They took up arms. The firstborns took up arms, and the Medr says they killed the Egyptians, including their own fathers. The Egyptian firstborn children in Egypt, in the last Makkah, right before Makkah's Bechairis, what's the phrase? Lemakkah Mitzrayim, what? Bivchoy Rehem. How do you read those words? Lemakkah to kill Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. What should it be? Bivchoy Rehem? What does Bivchoy Rehem mean? It should be Lemakkah Mitzrayim, Bivchoy Rehem. So what do you mean you killed the Mitzrayim with their firstborns? It means, like we're saying now, that the firstborns were the gun. They were the dam. They were the tzvardeya. They were the gun. They were the plague that affected the Egyptian people. They were the negative energy. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are pointing out or arguing, play
what
games.
What they're saying is that the plague didn't die.
They died after that. But what was the real plague? The plague, let's say the Bechayim died. Think of statistically speaking. I'm adding this in now. How many firstborn sons are there in a family consistent with the family? What percentage of the population are firstborn sons? I don't know. I'm making up a number. What, 6%? 15, you think?
No.
Depends how many kids you have, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know if girls. I don't know, if you want to be like the Jews, if you have a stillborn, God forbid, if you have a miscarriage, right? I have a student of mine that when I went to his son's bris, he's a student of mine, he made a bris. And he made a pidyon haben. And at the bris, they got up the father. He's 27 now. And he said that I'm the fifth generation of a pidyon haben.
Wow.
And my son will have a pidyon haben. Because why? To get a pidyon haben, you can't be a kohen or a levi.
Right.
You can't be a girl. You can't have had a miscarriage. You can't have had a C-section. So statistically speaking, he's getting all excited here.
The same thing, the wife can't be a bachelor.
And the wife can't be a bachelor. So the odds of having a pidyon haben, I'm making up a number right now, is going to be boy and girl, you lose 50%.
Right.
Miscarriage will add on as another 10%. Father, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, C-section. So let's say the first Bechar will give it, I make up a number, 18%. It's much less. His son, 18 divided by 18 divided by 18 divided by 18, to six generations. Now, whatever. So let's say it's not.
Anyone in this room have a
Did you have a pidyon haben or make a pidyon haben?
I made a pidyon haben.
You made how many?
One.
I was including grandchildren. In all your family, you made one.
No, you included grandchildren?
Yeah.
And six.
He's, as usual, a statistic anomaly.
No,
he thinks it's a compliment. Let him believe it. You have six, really?
Mark, do you see how he takes care of me? This was the whole part when you were there.
Yeah, six mistresses. No, your mama had six in your family? That means your son and then each, and you had five others?
Huh?
Five? That's amazing. So yeah. It is a statistic anomaly, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So now, now I am agreeing, by the way, if anyone's listening to this
and
thing.
And then if I go to nephews,
wow.
Eight or nine.
That's amazing.
Three.
Really? Hold on 5 minutes and then we'll close this up. So it goes like this. Now obviously, yeah, good point. Obviously the Hilchas Makas Bechoyris is not the same halachas as Hilchas Pidyon Haben. And according to Rashi, if you read the Rashi, which maybe we'll discuss in the Shabbos Agadah Drasha, if there was no firstborn child, then the oldest kid died. So it's not so clear. But let's Right. That's all. I'm just saying statistics. No, not necessarily. That Rashi says openly the first older child. My point is this. Not my point. I saw this. In Makas Bechairis, there was a machloikis on what, I don't want to say the arguing, but what the main plague of Makas Bechairis was. The Tanakhama is saying the main plague of Makas Bechairis was the victims of the firstborns, the plague upon them. That was the main thing, that everyone's firstborn, God forbid, should die. For the Mitzrayim, it should be a terrible thing that had such an effect on the Egyptians. That's the main part. And therefore, when you want to list off the plagues, you have to add on a word. It's not similar. The firstborns aren't dam tzradeya. They weren't the gun. They were the victim. Therefore, I add on the word makas. If Yehuda comes along and says, no. Either he's saying, don't forget, or he's saying that's the main plague. You can play games with this. He's saying, listen, when it comes to the main plague, or the part of the plague, don't forget the Medrash. The Medrash says that right before the first plague, the 10th plague affected the Egyptians, the firstborns were like Dam. They plagued in a verb against the Egyptians. Just like Dam affected the Egyptians, just like Tzfardei affected the Egyptians, the firstborns affected the Egyptians. And that's why you don't need the word makas b'chayrus. Makas b'chayrus is if there's an inconsistency between dam, tzvadeya, kinim, then add in the word makas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Take out, like Aronovitz said, take out the mem. Don't call it the tzach hadash be'ach mambe. Don't add in the mem. Take out the mem, because not a makas b'chayrus. Because no, it's consistent, because what? The main part was that they were the guns being used against the Egyptian nation, because there was a civil war. There was a civil war.
And those that survived the war, did they die anyways?
If they were first...
The Bukhar that rose up against the other Egyptians because they were afraid they're going to die, but they ended up dying anyway. Right?
Because you know why? Because Pari said, no, I will not let them go. Yeah, in a Hanami. So the Bukharim killed off a massive amount of Egyptians in a civil war, and then they died also. But don't forget about that, or that's the main part of it, that you could debate on what they're saying. But the point is now, we brought down a couple different answers on why Rabbi Yehuda's acronym is teaching us stuff. It's not just a tongue twister. And of course, the legacy of God, we have other approaches. Now let's have the chametz for some pizza. Thank you.